Okay, I guess it's 2 o'clock, so we can get started. So, I guess the first question is going to be to our Inspector of Election. If nobody has met our Inspector of Election, Yvette is the inspector.
Hi, everyone.
So the question is, have we made a quorum of 60 votes?
I don't believe we've made 60.
Okay. Okay, we got another one. Do we have any more ballots to be turned in?
Two more coming.
Oh, 2 more coming? Okay. We'll give it another minute here. Not a problem.
And then I'm going to recalculate once I have everybody.
Okay. Not a problem. We can adjourn the meeting for 5 minutes, and then we can reconvene the meeting, at which point our quorum requirement goes down to 25%, which we will have enough for that. So if any member would like to make a motion to adjourn for 5 minutes, I will definitely take that under consideration, and we can ask for a second. Okay. Would anybody like to second the motion? And his wife. So we're good. Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Let's take all votes in favor.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, passes unanimously. So we will now be adjourned until 2:10, and then we will reconvene. So let's, I think we're going to get there for a change. We'll be able to have a quorum. So we won't have to hold a second meeting, we won't have to send out a whole another bunch of ballots and everything, and save us some money. While we're waiting, I can go ahead and introduce our current board of directors, in case anybody isn't aware. I'm Randy Hardenbrook, I'm the president. We have Rita Leonard, who is serving as our treasurer. We have Joan Tyre, who is our secretary. Along with that, we have Carl Schlitz, who's a director, and Pat Hurley, who is not here today. And she's also a director. In addition to that, Bill Gehring is here. He's the head of our road committee and pretty much runs up the road crew. And I know that he will have some stuff to talk about here in a little bit, because we've got a construction project that's going to be starting here shortly on Sand Canyon. Shortly. Right now, their tentative schedule is October 2nd. So hopefully, that's just a couple weeks away, and we'll see some progress starting. But in the meantime, we've had a pretty eventful year. Even though we haven't done a whole lot that's visible, there's been a lot of work going on in the background. We have put quite a bit of money away into the reserve account. We've had several members that keep threatening to sue, and because members have filed with our insurance company, they filed claims. We continue to have a $25,000 retention on our insurance policy for any legal fees, which means the association has to pay the first $25,000. So we've been putting money aside. So in case anything ever does happen, we've got the reserves to cover it. In addition, what that means that we have reserves to cover any emergency, like if we have a big rain and washes out a road, it puts money aside for those issues.
Randy, before we get too far away from the roads, although they're not professional, we didn't expect professional, but I would like to thank Rita and Carl, although he is, for the work that you've done your best to do to help the roads.
Everybody has done a good job trying to do roads. The board has been working hard trying to get the association up to compliance with all the laws that the state is constantly changing on us. And we're getting there. We're getting better all the time. Trying to keep the management costs as low as we can, which is part of the reason why we're trying to amend the bylaws, so we can, again, reduce costs, try and keep the compliance issues down. With the primary focus of bringing the association into compliance, we still got some things done. We did get the drainage up on Stable. We addressed that in front of Audrey's house where the water was running down her driveway. We put in a culvert up there and a collector to catch the water and reroute it across the driveway. We got a few stop signs put in, little things, but we've at least managed to do some work. Some potholes were fixed. Carl did a lot of that. Thank you, Carl. But yeah, we got some work done. There's a lot to do, but there always will be.
What about that culvert or whatever it's called that coming from Agate into Sunview? Has anything been done there?
Not on that one yet.
Because it gets really bad there.
Yeah.
That's where our problem is at.
Going forward, we're trying to plan to do more paving to keep dust down and provide all-weather access on these roads. Over the years, there's been a lot of effort, a lot of money spent grading dirt roads, but if we can pave them, then they don't have to be constantly graded. Of course, pavement requires maintenance as well, but with pavement, we get rid of the dust and we improve the all-weather access. But paving's expensive, but we're going to keep working in that direction. Another thing that's being planned is installing stop signs at all intersections. We know that nobody's gonna police it, nobody's gonna stop at all the stop signs. The biggest thing is, it helps the association from a liability standpoint. If we have a stop sign there, somebody runs it and gets in an accident, it's their fault. If we don't have a stop sign there, then they can claim that we didn't do our due diligence and put up stop signs to prevent them from having the accident. So that's part of our plans, is to get stop signs at all the intersections. And with the traffic continually increasing, you know, the risk of these accidents continually increases. Along with the unpaved roads, to try and keep the cost down, the board has approved setting aside $15,000 to purchase a tractor. We're still looking to try and get one, a large tractor with a box scraper on the back, to use for road maintenance, which will allow us to do road maintenance year-round, and do it with more with volunteer labor than with having to have a contractor come in here, because every time a contractor has to come out, we have to pay them to truck their equipment out here too. So if we've got it here, it'll help keep our costs down. We haven't found one yet that fits in that budget that's in good condition, but we keep looking. Right now, the economy's doing pretty good because the price of equipment, used equipment, has gone way up. So that's one of my indicators I use to know whether the economy's good or bad. When equipment starts getting cheap, the economy's going down. But right now, it's up. So again, we'll keep an eye out. We're going to keep looking, and hopefully we'll get something here soon that we can use. But I would definitely like to thank all the board members and all the volunteers that have worked hard to keep these roads up. We've got a lot to do yet, but a lot has been done, and it's been mostly done with volunteers, and it's greatly appreciated.
Randy, I'd like to see, I used to do it, we can't do it anymore. Now, lately we have two new families up here. I would like to see a volunteer or a member of the board go over and take the bylaws, explain that they're, we have an association, and kind of just briefly enlighten them and welcome to the area.
I will add an agenda item for the board to consider.
Good idea.
Thank you for that.
That's a good idea, Linda.
That's why I brought my grandson, because yeah. I wanted to be.
When Fran Williams was at Lucida on the corner of Morgan, and right down by the corner, and I was coming from getting the mail, and I saw Fran, she was in the wheelchair, spaghetti. And I stopped by, and as a member of the board, you know, I did it on my own, and I had no sooner left. And Jane was down there and said, Phyllis Birch is in trouble. I go, me?
Of course not.
Okay, well, we'll go ahead and reconvene our meeting. And our quorum is now down to 25%, which will be 45 ballots returned. We have 50, so we have that quorum. So we can go ahead and have an actual meeting. And as I said earlier, we appointed Yvette Warren to be as a notary public to be our inspector of election. Now, with that, is there any nominations from the floor to run for our board seats that are open?
Don't everybody speak at once.
Okay.
Go ahead, David.
I'm already here.
So now I'll make a final call for ballots. Has everybody got their ballots turned in? All right. We need a motion to close the polls. Would anybody like to make a motion to close the polls?
I make a motion to close the polls.
Wait a second. This is a members' meeting.
I remember.
Yep.
Oh, my God. That, yep.
Would you like to second it?
I'm not seconding.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, the polls are now closed. So now with that, we'll give Yvette time to go ahead and get all the ballots opened, and then she can count them all, and we will have some election results. And in years past, I know this was done sometimes in another area or something. However, in light of transparency, it's right here. Everybody gets to see it, and we'll all get the results at the same time. So now we'll go through all the ballots. While we're doing that, if you'd like, we can go. I can ask Bill if he would like to make any announcements from the road committee.
The only announcement I have is we had a really good quote from Oscar Concrete that called furnace for the board, and we're going to take advantage of it and put in a concrete wash on north of Horseshoe Lane on Sand Canyon. That's the main work we have coming up, the main thing that we will be doing. The only other thing I'd like to do is, it was a beautiful job that was done on the drainage ditch this year. We've always talked about putting a drainage ditch in our orders, and we putzed around. Well, I think if anybody goes up there, they'll see it's a permanent installation that's going to last for years. Once again, thanks to Carl and Lynn for patching all the holes on Sand Canyon, or a portion of them. We have the Van Kirks do a great job walking up and down Sand Canyon picking up litter. It's nice to see. I think everything else, Randy, is about touch. The plan was to get a grader, hire some employees, and do the work ourselves. At the beginning, it will cost us money, but in the long run, all the dirt roads can be a lot better maintained. The only thing is fitting it into our budget. The other thing I like is we're trying to do permanent, full-time repairs. They cost a lot of money to regrade the blacktop, put a new coating on it from the campground to the office here is $90,000. If we were to do other roads and you did it in $30,000 sections, you can see it takes lots and lots of money. One time we figured out that if we did everything per our wish list, there's over $1 million you could spend on this road system. It ain't gonna happen, as we say. So we're gonna try and do the best that we can with what we have and make things work. So, but I'd like to recognize that some people have done a really good job for a really number of years, and I appreciate everything that Carl has done for the last 10 years, 20 years, and I hope we can get back working together again. And that's about it.
Well, thank you, Bill. Would any of our directors like to make any comments or statements?
Yeah, I'd like to make one.
Okay, Carl?
Yeah, all of us were able to make the dirt roads is less than $8,000. There's enough money put away for maintaining the Sand Canyon, or eventually it was a grant, or was it a winter slow to pave that road, or even improve it some work. So I cannot believe that the previous board spent $20,000 on grading the same road that I've done for $15,000 less. But, you know, I really haven't looked into it, but all the money went, and that's all I have to say. So if I'm ever be again on the road committee, I'll be able to do the same grading which I did, and import some DG where we need it, and fix some of the items which I put in the road, the cord and the spine of this year, and then go from there next year.
Thank you, Carl.
There's a culvert that John Scroggins said he'd donate on his property, and he would donate to his association. It looks like a pretty good culvert. Okay. Have you seen it, Rita?
Yeah, I have.
That the association can have that.
I've talked to John and John, too.
Now, in Rita's place, when it rains in that water, I mean, it's
We have lots of repairs to work on. Go ahead, Bill.
One thing I forgot to mention. Next year, I was hoping that we would have a road committee and not just one person doing the work. The road committee might attend 4 or 5 meetings a year. Most of them a half hour, 45 minutes, and that's it. And we do need volunteers to join the road committee.
All right, thanks.
People with knowledge.
We have any other directors that want to?
I think, and you can fill me in. I think we need to explain more about the project that's coming up, that there's going to be a detour. I think we have enough people that can explain, and you can do it better than I could.
No problem. We'll get to that too then.
Okay.
And just remember, any major decisions that the board is changing as far as the bylaws and all that, before they do it, they have to handle ships of food.
That's
not
correct.
Just go and do it on your own.
That's correct.
I was in bed Cheryl today.
You have been great. It's good to see you too. You sure you have to take off? Because you're welcome to stay.
If I thought I was welcome to stay, I'd stay.
You're welcome to stay.
I got another appointment.
Okay, all right.
Well, that's what happens when you get booked. You have other appointments.
That's what happens when you're tired. You get busy.
Nice seeing you.
Nice seeing you, Liz. And thank you again for your prayers when I was in the hospital. I know what you're like.
Well, I'm glad to see you up and about.
Yeah. Take care.
You're still a pain in the butt.
We heard that.
Oh, no. Do any of the rest of our directors have anything they would like to add?
That's good, though, Liz.
Expand on Rita's comments about the construction. We are going to be detouring traffic at Horseshoe. We're going to set up a detour that's going to go around through Pat Burley's property and then back onto Sand Canyon right there to get around that wash while they dig it out and pour the concrete. So that'll just be, shouldn't be for too long enough for them to get the concrete in and let the concrete cure. So I'm thinking a couple of weeks at the most. But there will be a little bit of a detour there. We'll have it well signed, you know, plenty of signage, cones, etc. So it shouldn't be any problem for everybody. But that should be a good project, because once that's done, we won't have to worry about the erosion of the road there any longer. It'll protect the road. Yeah, go ahead.
Can we afford to buy a sign or two that says Quail Crossing so that they don't get run over or make people aware that they're always running across the road?
I'll add that to it.
I don't know if it can be done.
Yeah.
Sure. Just maybe just
for caution wildlife.
Open up the awareness. You know?
We did it for deer.
See if we can come up with one of the things that we were looking at is the signs, 10-mile-an-hour signs for the dirt roads to remind everybody about the dust and to slow down. So we're looking at that too to try and get traffic slowed down a little bit. Sure, we can show. I get it.
Oh,
it's
right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Show them when I come in. Yeah. I'd like to Oh, yeah, that's true. That's a good idea.
So we're working on this. This is something that the board is going to be considering to see about getting more of these and put them on the dirt roads, just to remind everybody.
That's a good idea.
You know, and to try and keep, help keep us in compliance with AQMD because they can fine us for dust coming off the roads.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
so at least we're doing our diligence trying to keep the traffic down so that we don't have that problem. So. Does any of our members have anything that they would like to bring up?
Well, who's going to be on the board next year?
Well, since nobody ran for the board this year, the board is going to, the office, or the directors will stay in place until they're replaced.
Okay.
We have no nominations, so nobody ran.
Well, their term expires this year. And whoever's going to be on the board has to be either voted in by the associate, by the board member, or directed by the two remaining directors. I will provide an opinion from our lawyer.
That's fine.
And if my cost, then we'll go from there.
That's fine. Anybody else have any questions? Or any suggestions or anything that we should be considering? The board works for you guys. I mean, that's what we're here for. To try and take care of the members. And hopefully we've been communicating that. We've been trying to get information out to everybody on a regular basis, trying to keep everybody aware of what's going on, and asking for input. What do you want? Our biggest thing is, you know, obviously the association is here to maintain the roads. That's its only job. It's not allowed to get into anything else. Its only job is roads. And
three lights.
Can't even do that. Unless you call it part of a road. But, you know, that's the association's job under the bylaws.
The biggest problem is avoiding the landmines of lawsuits and lawyers. Because in the last 10 years, probably 50% of our budget has gone to lawsuits, and we can't get nothing done with that.
And what's good is the last couple of years, we've spent nothing on lawyers. So we've cut that drastically, and we're doing everything we can to try and keep it that way.
In the John Carrasco lawsuit, I think, cost us, well, I know, over $80,000.
Well, how much?
$43,000.
See, and that's why we would rather work with the members rather than argue with them as much as we possibly can, because we don't want to spend money on lawyers. The money needs to go to the roads. And that's part of the reason why we wanted to amend the bylaws. We'll see when the ballots are all counted whether or not we got that done. But one of the things that's in the bylaws that's never been done, as far as I can ever find, is an audit. They've had financial reviews in the past, but never an audit. And primarily because audits are extremely expensive. To audit our books would cost anywhere from $5,000 to $15,000 a year. And by our bylaws, we're required to do it annually. Well, we only bring in a little over $20,000. So what's left for the roads? And by the time you pay insurance, you pay for an audit, we can go home. What's the point? So that's one of the things that was in the bylaws to get rid of, was the audit. It's not a legal requirement because we don't have that much income, so the government recognizes that we don't need to do it. It's just that it's in our bylaws. Another thing that's in our bylaws that's been causing problems is the term limits. By the time a board gets seated, they learn how to run the association, they're turned out. And you've got to have new people, and nobody wants to run. So you either have no board, or you end up with the same board that's already turned out. It's a catch-22. So if the bylaws get passed, then that eliminates the term limits so that people can stay on the board until the members decide they want to elect somebody else. Another thing that was in the bylaws amendment was to change the election from every year to every other year and change the terms from 2 years to four. And again, elections cost money. The postage alone is, you know, runs into several hundred dollars. And if we can eliminate those things, at least cut it in half, well, that's more money that can go towards the roads instead of spending it on paperwork. So that's was the main focus in the bylaws, was getting rid of some of the things that cost money, making it less costly to run the association, so more money can be put into the roads, because that's where it needs to go. Another thing that's on the ballot that I know won't pass, because we don't have enough ballots in the first place, and we knew it wouldn't pass, but we put it in there anyway, was the special assessment. We all know that with the assessments that we currently collect, we can't do road maintenance to state standards. We're not going to have roads that meet state standards ever. But by law, the board is required to maintain these roads in good working condition and up to standards. Well, if the board can't do that, then the law says that we have to inform the members what's not being done, how much it's going to cost to do it, and let the members decide not to do it. It's not up to the board not to maintain stuff, it's up to the members. So that's why the special assessment was there. It's to tell you, the roads aren't being maintained to state standards, we can't do it with the funds that are there, we need a special assessment of $250 this year, another one next year, higher dues, etc., if you want the roads maintained at those standards. But by not passing it, well, the members have told us they don't want the roads maintained to those standards, so now we can continue the way we've always continued. But we've done our job of informing everybody of that fact. And that's the reason it was on there. We didn't anticipate ever getting another $250 out of everybody because you can't afford it. None of us can. But we have to tell you that. And that's what is, that's, hopefully I was able to convey that with what I sent out to everybody, but that was the intent. It's just to inform everybody, this is what we need if we want our roads brought up to standards. And even at that, you know, it would take us 20, 30 years collecting those kind of assessments to get the roads up to standards. But.
And how is the collection of assessments going on?
That's getting better all the time. We still have some properties that don't pay. The problem we have, we put liens on them, which is getting more expensive. The state really helped us out with that when Brown put on that extra tax on filing property-related fees or property-related transactions at the county recorder's office that goes to the state.
$75 a piece.
Yeah, so the cost of our liens has gone through the roof. And the problem is that they're almost impossible to collect because it's a legal process that lawyers don't want to mess with and nobody else wants to mess with either because it's too complicated and costs too much. The other option we have is we can sue people and get a judgment, but then nobody pays judgments either. So basically we just have to wait until somebody decides that they want to sell their property, then we can collect all the fees. We have to keep putting the liens on them. But eventually, when the property is sold, then we can collect. In the meantime, we just have to keep carrying them. But it's getting better because we have more people that are buying the properties and more people that are building, and so more people are paying their assessments instead of just letting it sit. I can't give you the number off the top of my head, but I know we do keep track of that at each board meeting. That's one of the things that's put out at each board meeting is a list of all the delinquencies. That's required by state law now, so it's another piece of paper we have to print every board meeting. But the board, by law, has to go over that every board meeting, or at least once every 90 days.
Yeah.
But again, that's part of what we're trying to do is comply with all this stuff that's in the civil code. It's a pain. And the state's making it harder to collect on liens. One of the things the state's been trying to push for the last year and a half or so, they're trying to put a bill through that will change the way voting is done for homeowners associations. If you don't pay your dues, you'll still get to vote. Because they feel it's not fair. What we've got is a couple of state legislators that don't like homeowners associations, and they have been passing stuff that is just making it impossible to run HOAs. So, yeah, Bill.
When you look at what we pay in an association fees a year, and you look at any other association around here, it's ridiculously low. We have one of the best cost of living going. I mean, Mountain Meadows, 400.
Mountain Meadows is, I just spoke with their general manager this last week. they're actually a CSD, so they don't have assess, they have an assessment, but it's on their property taxes, which makes it easier to collect. And their annual assessment right now is $200 per property. That's what Mountain Meadows gets. And again, they don't have to collect it. The county does. But of course, then the county charges a fee for doing that, but at least they get more of it, because otherwise, then the county puts their property up for sale. They don't have to go through the lease process that we have to go through. So there are advantages for them. And they can't afford to do anything either. That's why I was meeting with them. I attended for the water district a meeting in town with representatives from our elected officials in Sacramento and Washington. They actually had a roundtable meeting for the special districts to hear all the special districts' gripes. And so I was there, and so was Mountain Meadows, so we actually we're starting a working relationship, because they're in the same boat as the water district is, as far as being so small that they have no money. But I've been used to now to try and get information how they're maintaining their roads and stuff. And they still have the same problem. They're similar to us. They've gotten air quality grants in the past to pave roads, but then it's hard to come up with enough money to maintain the pavement. But it's hard for them to come up with money to maintain dirt roads, too. So it's that quandary, you know, which one is easier.
Yeah. Well, they also hired a manager to handle the association for them. Mm-hmm. So they have a professional who's not in the association, so he comes in and makes sure they try and do everything properly. And I think that is something that you got to look at. I appreciate your free time.
But it's limited. That's the problem, it is limited. Yeah. Trying to maintain roads is getting more and more difficult every day because, it's just like everything else. The state has new laws and new rules. Our elected officials don't feel they're doing their job unless they keep passing something that's going to cause us more headaches. They have to justify why they get paid full-time to be up there in Sacramento, so they want to pass laws. And invariably, they cause more headaches. They keep making it tougher on asphalt, the companies that make the asphalt, it has to be compliant with the VOC rules, just like spray paint does, so the asphalt doesn't hold up as good as it used to. Like I said, AQMD can fine us up to $10,000 per day for dust leaving the roads.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. They wouldn't fine us anything like that because they would know that we would just file bankruptcy and then somebody else would have to step in and take care of it, like the county. And so they don't want to do that. it's the rules that everything has to be operated under are just ridiculous. But it is what it is. We do the best we can. And that's why the assessments are going to have to go up. They stayed stable for a long time, which was probably a mistake. The assessments should have been raised every year for, as long as they've been here. Just because you can't operate on what we're getting right now. Like I said, if we had to do the audit, by the time you pay for an audit and you pay for the insurance, you're done. It's not enough money. It's one of the things the board is going to have to take up between now and the end of the year, whether or not to raise the assessments again this year. Most likely they're going to have to go up. Otherwise, how do we keep operating? All the costs keep going up. Contractors certainly don't come out and grade roads for free. And I'll tell you, getting the contractor to do anything right now, it's getting expensive. The contractors have been hit with the same legal requirements too. They have to replace equipment because of emissions. So they're having to buy new equipment, and new equipment costs money, so now they have to charge more. Because the state, a few years back, the state decided diesel was the big evil in California. And so they've been trying to ban everything that's diesel-powered, including tractors and graders. And so the contractors are having to buy new equipment that meets the new emissions, and it's just making everything expensive. And like I said, the economy is good right now, so the contractors are all busy. So to get them to come out to an outlying area like this, they charge more. Which is part of the reason why we were looking at our own tractor. One of the advantages that we have as an association Because we're incorporated, that makes the association under the state law an individual. It's a person.
Yep.
Well, a person can have a tractor to do work on their own property, and the HOA owns the roads, so that's its own property, and it doesn't have to meet the emission standards. So we can buy something that a contractor's getting rid of for emissions that we can still operate. So it's one of the few advantages we have as an association, so we're going to try and take advantage of it. That's why we're looking for a tractor right now. And that way we can do some of the work ourselves and not have to be dependent on contractors, not have to pay for it. But it's not going to be easy. And like I said, the state is making it harder for HOAs all the time. They're making it harder to collect. They're making it harder to operate. They just keep throwing more roadblocks. So, but we'll keep doing the best we can. And that's why we want volunteers whenever possible. We need the help. The more that volunteers can do, the less we have to spend on help. It may get to the point someday, we've talked about it before, and that's getting a management company to run the association, because it is a lot of work. The secretary has a ton of work to do, the treasurer has a ton of work to do, I have a ton of work to do, because of all the paperwork, just the election alone, I mean, the amount of paper, you know, I burned up a printer printing all this stuff off. I knew it would, it was time for it anyway, but it's a lot of paper.
Yeah.
It's a lot of folding and stapling and postage, and it's a lot of work. The problem with a management company, besides cost, is finding one that would do it. We had a management company that was doing our election. We're too far out here. They had other work in town. They told us this year they couldn't do it. So we had to dig in and do it ourselves again. You know, we thought about hiring a management company to just run the day-to-day stuff, but again, besides cost, it's trying to find one. I think when prior board looked, they only had the one that was even willing to do it then.
And we had one come out, take pictures, and then say sorry.
Yeah, it's too far away and it's too small. It's not enough money for them, so it's not worth doing. So, again, we're only going to be able to run this mostly with volunteers. It may be something where eventually we get some part-time help to help with things, which brings in a whole new issue, because then we become an employer and we have to have workers' comp and all that. We've got workers' comp now, but it only covers volunteers, and our insurance carrier does not write workers' comp for employees. So we would have to get another carrier for that. Which is, that's minor, except for cost. Everything's cost. But, again, we keep exploring things. You know, we'll just keep looking, and everywhere we can, we'll find ways to get more done with less. That's the name of the game. Anything else? Any questions? I'll answer anything I can.
I have kind of an odd question, I
sure.
guess. What happens if an HOA can't raise enough money, people don't cooperate, whatever? What happens if they just go belly up?
Well, the HOA would have to file for bankruptcy, mm-hmm. and at that point, then a court will order a receiver mm-hmm. to operate the HOA, and that just, then the court will override most of the rules that the HOA has to operate under, and instead they will set, the receiver will be able to set what the dues are going to be, and you'll have to pay it. but that's what happens, and then on top of that, you have to pay a receiver.
So it doesn't just like go away.
It can't.
State takes it over.
It can't. Especially this one. This association will be here in perpetuity. There is no choice. It was required when they did the tract map for 3312. Because it was a tract instead of a parcel map, the county required that either the roads be built to county standards and then turned over to the county, which the developer wasn't going to do because that would have cost a fortune, and the property, then the lots would have been, you know, three or four times the price that they were. So that didn't happen. The other alternative is that the county requires an HOA to be formed to maintain the roads, which is the way it went. So that's a condition of the parcel map, so the HOA has to be there to maintain those roads. Or we have to bring the roads up to county standards and get the county or another government entity to take them over. That's the only way to get rid of the HOA, is the roads have to be given to a government entity that will accept them to maintain them. So it's pretty much, unless a CSD is formed out here and takes on the responsibility of roads, which probably isn't going to happen anytime soon, the HOA will have to be there. And if it, like I said, if it does go bankrupt, then they'll appoint a receiver and...
Costs more.
And it'll cost a lot more.
A lot more money.
Yeah, because the receiver's not going to get out here and get volunteers to do stuff. The receiver's going to hire contractors. And so you're going to be paying for everything. That's the difference.
And what happens when people who are fixed incomes just can't pay? They just lose their property?
Exactly. That's exactly what happens.
Or homeless on the sidewalks.
Well, that's part of the reason why there is no affordable housing in the state.
That's right.
The state has made it impossible to have affordable housing in the state because of all the rules and regulations. I mean, the requirements now to build a house are ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's nice to have all these things in a house, but it's not necessary. And it just makes the cost go up. I mean, I look back when I was a kid, we grew up in an 800 square foot house. It didn't have dual pane windows, and it didn't have, all these things that are mandated now.
Indoor sprinklers.
But we grew up in it.
But you didn't have solar?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, all those things have a cost. Yeah, so we have to try and maintain the roads as best we can with what we have, and try and keep the cost from getting exorbitant, because the alternative is a receiver, and then the court will order whatever the court orders, which would be based on the receiver's recommendations, and it could get very expensive. It's not going to be easy.
I got a comment.
Sure.
I think I'm getting warm, fuzzy feelings from the people around me lately. I think the good guys are gathering. I think there's something happening in this group of people. We're getting to know each other personally. We're forming a community. It's, I think it's going to get worse before it gets better, but we're here supporting one another, and we'll get each other through.
Yep.
I think you're right, but where are all the other people?
We can offer to feed them, and we could only get a handful.
Yeah,
it's like I've been telling everybody, I take the apathy that we're experiencing right now, that nobody turned in ballots, nobody wanted to run, I take that as an indication that what we're doing is everybody's satisfied with. Otherwise, they would be here with their pitchforks. it's pretty simple. When there's problems, people show up to the meetings.
Yep.
When there's not, then everything's fine.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
So that's the way I take it. I look at it as, we're doing what everybody wants, or at least what most people want. We're trying to do as much as we can, and we're listening. We definitely want everybody to tell us what they want.
Well, at least once a year, they need to send in their ballots.
Well, hopefully it'll be once every other year. We'll find out soon.
But this, I can't understand why people don't send in, spend their 55 cents and send in their ballots.
I think they just put it aside and then never get around to it. Because, again, there's no controversy. There's nothing pushing them to do it. And this year, I'm guilty. I did not get the time to put out the effort to put a second letter out like I did last year.
But you shouldn't have to.
No, we shouldn't have to, but it does help. I put the sign up to at least remind everybody.
Can we, those people that are in here that haven't been coming a lot, can we remind them that we do have the website that we can actually keep track of what we're doing?
Yeah, and it's on the bottom of everything we send you. We do have a website. We do post the agendas and minutes and everything else we can think of whenever I have time to post it, which is mymva.org. So there is information there on a regular basis. Again, we're trying to get the word out every way we can. Mm-hmm. Between the website, the mailings, Joan tries to put together a newsletter every quarter so that we can get information out to people. We try and throw some pictures in of what's been going on whenever we can. We'll keep doing that. You'll probably see the sign more because I bought the sign myself at an auction. I got lucky and got it cheap. So it's not the best sign, but it keeps working, so I'll keep using it. I loaned it to the water district. I loaned it to the volunteer council for the road cleanup. And I'm loaning it to the Mountain Valley so that they can use it for this kind of stuff. We'll be using it when we have the road closure. So
you use it for the fondo.
And it helps to get, you know, people see things. You know, some people don't read what gets sent to them, and a lot of people don't go to the website. So it's just another way of getting word out to people. And we're going to keep trying to find ways to keep everybody informed.
You can even listen to the meetings because he puts the meetings.
Yeah, if you ever have insomnia and you need to go to sleep, you can actually listen to recordings of the board meetings. We do record the board meetings, and I put them up on the website. Sometimes it's a couple of months before I get them up there, but eventually I get those up there so that you can hear what happened.
Yeah, the information that you send is very, very knowledgeable. You get to know a lot of what's going on in here.
Maybe that's why we got some little about people. And they were all satisfied with the information that they've gotten.
Yeah.
We keep trying. Yeah, Bill.
Why don't you tell everybody how they can get a minute or minutes or hear the meeting if they want?
Yeah, it's on the website. There's a tab on there to click on for the minutes. And there's a list of all the old minutes. I don't take them back down. Once they're up there, they stay there. So we've got a couple of years worth up there now. And the audio recordings go along with them are on there. And all you have to do is click on them.
What about the traffic? Is the resort open in any way or being used in any way?
No, that's under private ownership now.
Okay.
He has done some movie stuff up there. He's from, I guess, the Hollywood area. So they have done some movie stuff up there where there was some traffic, but it's pretty minimal. For the most part, I don't see anything going on up there. It's really quiet, but it's all under private ownership.
It's also an artist retreat.
He puts
out little bungalows that
he's got. Is that where it is? Mm-hmm. So they don't contribute to the road?
No. Uh-huh. Nobody does.
They did help us.
Yeah.
They did a couple of years.
Yeah. We did the road from
wherever. And this homeowners association here in 3242 isn't active.
Well, this one?
3242, yeah. And I don't know how they're getting away with it because they're not maintaining their roads. Mm-hmm. And they don't maintain Sand Canyon either, which is why we're stuck with it.
Mm-hmm.
According to the documents, when they formed this association, in addition to being responsible for all the roads in the association, we're responsible for ingress and egress as well. So we have to provide the members with access to their property, which means we have to come all the way down to the county road, and then the county takes care of it from there.
Mm-hmm.
But if this gets so bad that we can't get through, then it's our problem. And this other association, like I said, they haven't had meetings or anything in years.
Mm-hmm.
So they're basically bankrupt, and nobody's ever, again, the county's not going to come in and push it, because if they were to come in and appoint a receiver,
yeah,
first off, the county's going to get stuck with the bill until they get the property owners to pay.
Mm-hmm.
And the county doesn't want that. I watched it when they did that with the sewer in Golden Hills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the county isn't responsible for sewer out there, but when the property owners, when the company that owned the sewer system couldn't operate it for the money they were bringing in, and went bankrupt, then the county had to step in. Otherwise, they had to condemn all the properties and kick the people out of their houses. You know, that was their alternative. So they had to step in, and they've had to pay to operate that since. And they're trying to get it. I don't know if how far they've gotten with Golden Hills, but they were trying. I think Golden Hills finally took it over, and now Golden Hills is running it. But that's one of the things that would help protect this HOA from anybody trying to have a receiver appointed if we were bankrupt, is that nobody wants to do that because somebody's got to pay for it in the interim until they can get enough property owners to pay for it. You know, if the county would have to start us putting it on as an assessment on the taxes, but even then, you know, a lot of people don't pay their taxes, so somebody's still got to make it up. Like, somebody's got to pay the bill. Nobody wants that responsibility. which is why they're really receptive. As long as we're trying to do something, they're pretty receptive to letting us do it. Because it beats the alternative, which is them having to do it. Which gives us a little bit of leverage when something is changed with the laws or something that make it real difficult for us to operate. It does give us a little bit of leverage to have them look at that and see if they can't change things for us. Because the alternative is that they're going to get stuck having to make up the difference.
Yeah.
But we have to be aware of those things, and we have to make noise when that happens. Which is one of the things we'll try and get out there when we get information on some of these laws that are being put into effect that are going to cause us to have to spend more money. That's something we could probably try and get out to the members and let you guys know about, so you could write to your legislators in Sacramento and tell them what it's causing you. So we'll try and get that information out. Yeah, you know, if they get one letter from the association, that doesn't mean anything. If they get 20 letters from the members, that means a little bit more. So we'll try and convey that when we hear about these things too. Maybe we can get some letter writing campaigns. If anything looks like it's going to be really detrimental to us, we can get that information out.
Can I ask about a specific road?
Yeah.
I'm on Horseshoe, right at Fernhill.
Mm-hmm.
I keep hearing rumors from neighbors that there's going to be a gate installed.
I wouldn't count on it.
What is going on?
There is a property owner there that thinks that should be his private driveway. It belongs to the association. That's why they're doing survey.
Okay.
And that road belongs to the association. It doesn't belong to a property. The roads out here, most of the roads outside of 3312, they're easements. The property lines go to the center of the road. And then there's an easement that's dedicated to public access. 3312 is different. The roads are a separate parcel of land owned by the association. And so those roads, most of them are 60 feet wide. That entire road belongs to the association. It's not an easement. It doesn't belong to the property owner. It belongs to the association. The association is responsible for it.
Well, the argument I was told, was that it was the association's road to that border. The property line, because my lot happens to be the last one on the west end, as are my other two neighbors.
Yep.
And that everything else beyond that is not association, which I understand.
Right, it's outside of 3312.
And therefore, those people shouldn't have access down that road. I've only been there 3.5 years, so that road's always been there.
Right. At one time, it wasn't. The road... Well, the road originally was on the other side, and it came up to 3312.
Yes.
And according to the parcel map, there should have been a cul-de-sac there that was never built and that road ended at 3312. But then when they did the map for 3312, they connected it to that road. So actually, 3312 impinged upon their road. They didn't come into ours. We went on to theirs because you have to have so much road coming in and out of a track because if people have to evacuate, you can't have just one road. So that was another route out of 3312. Their road is public anyway. It's dedicated public access. But when they did the track 3312, they connected to it so that 3312 can come in and go out on their road.
Mm.
And we have a property owner that thinks it's the other way around, that they're allowed to come into our road. Well, we went into theirs, and according to our documents when this was formed, our roads are open to the public as well. They're not dedicated public roads, but they're open to the public. And so that means people can use it.
That's right. Okay.
And that's our stance. That's where we're at with this. And until a judge says something different, that's what we have to go with. But from my reading of all the formation documents and everything, that's how it is. And I've looked back at the maps and everything, that's what I have seen. And that area back there was parcel map 32, which is a very old parcel map. That was done a long time ago, so that road has been dedicated public access for a long time. So, I don't see it changing, and I don't see it, we would have to take legal action if somebody puts a gate up on the association property, because it's association property.
Right.
Now, if somebody put a gate up on the other side of the border, on one of those parcels, then we would simply inform the county of it, and it would be up to code enforcement to deal with it. But if it's on, if it's in 3312, we will have to deal with it, unfortunately. And because it's association property, we're responsible for it.
Right.
And to protect the members, we would have to do something about it.
And we already did that a couple years ago.
I know. And it keeps coming back, you know, it just doesn't go away, but some people are tenacious.
They don't get smarter.
That's one set of legal fees that we're trying to avoid. That road was in there prior to the tenant moving in, and by now, that road should be grandfathered in. Just like the road on the back of Kathy's property running all the way up and up to John Carrasco's. That road is grandfathered in. So, you know, it's gonna be a mess. No matter what we do, it's coming.
And we'll just have to deal with it, unfortunately. I've heard anyway that there's been some complaints about up on top of Halter up there too. The same situation, because it goes off onto BLM land and people shouldn't be allowed to use our road. Well, it's access. That's their access, always has been. You know,
right.
And we can't shut that off. And again, when this was all deeded to the association, it says the roads are to be open to the public.
Well, who put the gate up there? There is
a gate up there now.
Yeah, it's off of association property.
It's not on our property.
Right. I'm not sure who put it up there, but...
Yeah, I was surprised to see it up there.
Yeah. People have been going around it, and they've torn it down a few times, and so...
Is it on the BLM land?
It's either that or it's on private property, but it's off of ours.
Oh.
It's not on the association's property. Okay, we got all the ballots counted?
Right.
All right.
I'm going to read the report of the Inspector of Election. That's me. Number of members in good standing entitled to vote on matters below was 179. Number of members represented in person, by ballot, and proxy to establish a quorum prior to the closing of polls was 50. Quorum existed, which was 50. Confirmed the authenticity, validity, and effect of each of the ballots. The votes of members were received and tabulated. Total number of ballots counted was 50. Total number of ballots deemed void or invalid was 0. So the voting is as follows. There were 2 write-in candidates named. They were both for Rita.
You're already here.
They love you so much, they put you down again. annual meeting minutes, in favor, 42, 5 opposed, 3 abstained. Amended bylaws, 42 in favor, 5 opposed, 3 abstained. Special assessment, 25 in favor, 24 opposed, 1 abstained. And number 5, removal of Director Schlitz, in favor 39, opposed 3, abstained 8. And that is my report. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm really surprised at the special assessment. It didn't pass because we would have had to have 90 ballots.
Yeah,
there's a different quorum requirement for a special assessment under state law.
That's hateful. Money.
You should, if you ever are really bored, read the civil code that pertains to associations. It's a mess. But there's different things have different quorum requirements.
Okay.
See, just like our quorum requirement under our bylaws is 33%.
This time is...
Unless, and if we don't meet it, then we can adjourn. When we reconvene, it's down to 25%, which is why we were able to get a quorum. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had a quorum. Now, for election of directors, you can actually change the bylaws to remove the quorum from that. So then one ballot return, you can elect a director, but it's only for the election of directors that you can do that. For a special assessment, that's one of the ones that has its own quorum requirement, and the quorum requirement is 50%. So you have to have half of the ballots returned. So we had 179.
More sense, and we'll never see that.
That was put in place to protect the membership from having special assessments put in place without enough people being in favor.
39 in favor of removing you, Carl.
39 in favor of moving me?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to move
you. Don't have to leave. You're a member. This is a members meeting, and you're still on the board until the board meets.
What do you mean meets? The next one?
We have a board meeting.
You can get the permits.
Yeah. We still haven't had a board meeting.
You can get the permits.
And what?
The permits.
Oh, okay. Okay, so I'm all done.
Well, no, you're not all done. You're still on the board right now.
Yeah, but nobody voted against me.
Well, unfortunately, that's what happened, yes.
So I'm all done. Well, you people have to look for somebody else to do your work.
But, I mean, we put it to the members, and that's what their decision was.
What can I say?
Yeah.
I have a question about the fire department. You have the volunteer fire department, it's non-existent.
Yeah, it went defunct, and the state law has been changed to make it almost impossible to form one now. They changed state law, and it's very difficult to form a volunteer fire department in the state now. And a lot of that's because the unions don't want volunteers. I hate to tell you this, but Kern County has very strong unions for all their employees, not just the fire department, and they don't like volunteers. The union wants union dues. So they fight tooth and nail everything that volunteers do. Yeah. Just like the CERT, FEMA has the CERT program, Community Emergency Response Teams. LA County, they have a fantastic CERT program run by their fire department. They have tons of volunteers. They do tons of work. But the problem is, CERT County, they have a CERT program, and they just keep throwing more rules, more requirements, and more people are dropping out every day. Because the union doesn't want it. The union wants paid employees.
I gave the little part to the fire department, volunteer fire department. They turned it into
the next meeting.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All of them turned this in.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, Bob Rodell did all that.
Yeah, Bob Rodell did that.
I don't remember. I remember him taking it back because somebody was going to do something with it. I don't remember what it was. I think they were going to give it to some other group.
Yeah,
something, but I don't remember what.
For a fair or something?
I don't know. I don't remember. That's too long ago.
Yeah,
it was real popular. And I think that's why it got donated to somebody else that was going to do something like that.
It's doing the same thing that was regulated, but I think it was somebody else that went on.
Well, welcome to the board, Jean.
Yeah, you've been voted on.
Oh, I have?
Yeah, 39-3.
They
will
take
offense
on the board meeting.
What is that?
Because he's not on the board meeting.
Well, we can't do anything. Well, because we can't do anything until then. So it doesn't.
It's been done.
The members, well, yes, it's a done deal. It'll take effect when we have the next board meeting, because that's when we can do something.
How do I even do what?
Nothing, except say, well, we can certify the results of the election, and then it's all effective. It's easier to do that on a board meeting than...
Yeah.
But yes, and that's why he knows he's
on the
Well, I'm glad that Rita. Carl wants to oppose our election now because the board wasn't elected.
Your house is on the left.
But Rita was, because she had write-ins.
She had two write-ins.
She's actually elected.
So there, Rita, you're part of the whole.
If I'd have thought about that, we could have done that with everybody else too.
I never knew that.
I could have wrote somebody.
I didn't think about it. I thought about it, but I didn't think it would help.
One time you were at my head, I mentioned it.
Okay, now I read.
I'm glad that the bylaws passed. That's going to make things a lot simpler.
I think that was very wise.
Did I see anybody get hurt?
Does anybody else have any comments or anything that they'd like to add before we call for a motion to adjourn?
Yeah, I'm going to help you too. I make a motion to adjourn.
Okay.
I second it.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we are now adjourned.
And thank you all that came.
Yes.
Thank you very much. It was a great lunch. I think we had a good meeting. I think we're on our way to have a good association. We just need to figure out a way to get more people involved in it.
Really?
I like that.
That is my goal, is to always find the information out.
I didn't find that.